You're here in your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading in verse 10. And the Lord says, Jeremiah 14, verse 10, thus says the Lord to this people, even so, they have loved to wander, and they have not kept their feet in check. Therefore, the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and call their sins to account. So the Lord said to me, that is Jeremiah, do not pray for the welfare of this people. When they fast, I am not going to listen to their cry. When they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I am not going to accept them. Rather, I am going to make an end of them by the sword, famine, and pestilence. And then Jeremiah goes on and he says, now, Lord, the problem is all this false teaching. He's going to bring up to the Lord's remembrance the prophets, false prophets. But I want us to go down at the end of his argumentation in chapter 15, verse 1. Then the Lord said to me, even though Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not be with this people. Send them away from my presence and let them go. Now, to me, this is a fascinating passage. And I'm referring to Jeremiah 15 and verse 1. We have a situation where the Lord brings up two men. So this would be like you praying and then the Lord putting into your mind, you remember, oh, Moses. And then you flip in your Bible back to Exodus and you look at Moses. And then the Lord brings to your mind, not audibly, just thought comes into your mind, Samuel. And you say, oh, Samuel. So then you take your Bible and you turn and read about who? You read about Samuel. I'd made mention in giving you the timeline that somebody else was also ministering, not in Jerusalem like Jeremiah, but in Babylon. And his name was Ezekiel. So hold your place here, Jeremiah 15, and turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14. So we have these two men ministering on the same occasion. I don't know if this is approximately the same time frame, the exact time frame, or whether there were years in between what the Lord is going to say to Ezekiel and what the Lord has said to Jeremiah. But in Ezekiel 14, beginning in verse 12, then the word of the Lord came to me, that is Ezekiel, saying, son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness, and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, and cut off from it both man and beast. Now I'm going to pause there. He's not saying Babylon. He said, if any country, that would include America, if any country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, and cut off from it both man and beast. Now look at verse 14. Even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, by their own righteousness, they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord. So in Jeremiah, what two men are brought up? Moses and Samuel. Ezekiel's ministering in the same time frame. They're hundreds of miles apart. And the Lord brings up to Ezekiel three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job. In fact, he's going to mention this. You're here in verse 14. Look at verse 16. Though these three men were in its midst. So he mentions the three men again. If you go down to verse 18, he says, even though these three men were in its midst, he mentions them again. And then in verse 20, he mentions them by name. Even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the midst of it. Now, I find that fascinating. Again, where's Jeremiah? He's in Jerusalem. Where's Ezekiel? He's in Babylon. He's been deported. He may not be exactly in the city, but he's around and there in that area. Okay. And here, both of them are praying, are they not? And they're both praying for the welfare of their people. And to Jeremiah, he says, now, Jeremiah, I want you to think about Moses and Samuel. And to Ezekiel, he says, I want you to remember Noah, Daniel, and Job. Now, in order for us to understand this, we got to understand that God mentioned these men for different purposes. Okay, you're here in Ezekiel. So go back to Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14. Note what the Lord says. Even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, by their own righteousness, they could only deliver who?
Themselves,
says the Lord. So what we have in Ezekiel, we have a situation where God is looking at, if I would word it New Testament, he's looking at his work in these men, that imputed righteousness and outworked righteousness, conformity into the image of Christ. And he's saying, these are example men. And even if they were here and they were praying for the Israel to be delivered, God wouldn't hear them. But he would deliver who? Yeah. He would deliver them. Everybody see that? So he's looking at their own righteousness. Now, when he's saying they're righteous, doesn't mean they're perfect. They're credible. They're men of integrity. They were men of example. They were like unto the Lord. Okay? Now, don't lose your place in Ezekiel, but let's go back to Jeremiah 15 and let's look at the context here. Jeremiah 15, the Lord says to me, even though Moses and Samuel were to stand before me. Now, he's not pointing out their righteousness. He's saying, if they were to stand before me, my heart would not be with this people. Everybody see that? Okay. What's the context of Jeremiah? Jeremiah is praying for his people. Was Ezekiel?
Yes.
Yes. God told Jeremiah to stop praying for the welfare of this people. Did he say that to Ezekiel?
No.
No, not that we're aware of, right? And then God tells Jeremiah, if Moses and Samuel were standing in my presence. Now, folks, what that's referring to is intercession. In other words, in Jeremiah 15, God's saying, look at their prayer. Look at how they interceded with me. In Ezekiel, he's telling Ezekiel, look at the character of these three men. Now, we understand, don't we, that it takes both, right? But God's pointing out different things, but in both of these men who are contemporaries, one in Babylon, one in Jerusalem, God brings up these men. Now, we don't have time tonight to look at each one of these men. So we're going to look at two of them. The one dealing with Jeremiah, but I want to deal with Ezekiel first. I want us to think about the character of these men. So let's think about Job. What did the Lord say about Job? He was a blameless man. He was a man of integrity. The book of Job starts off with that statement. And if that's all we had, we could have argued and said, well, whoever wrote the book of Job, we're assuming it's Job. Whoever wrote the book of Job, that was just their assessment of the situation. But immediately after starting to read that book where it says that, it is in chapter 1, verse 8, God says it about Job. God tells the devil, have you considered my servant Job? And repeats Job 1, verse 1. This was God's assessment of this man's character. In chapter 2 of Job, verse 3 and 9, says the same thing. And here's the fascinating part. In Job 1, after he talks about the righteousness of Job, what we learn is this. Job prayed for his sons every day. So is he praying?
Yes.
He is praying, but God's not pointing to his prayer. He's pointing to who he is. Let's take Noah. To the best of my knowledge, we have no illustration of Noah ever praying. But the Bible says, Genesis 6, verse 9, Noah was a righteous man. He's telling us to look at the person, the character of this man. And of course, Noah's listed in the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith, isn't he? Peter mentions his preaching. Now, I would assume that Noah was also an intercessor. Usually preaching and intercession go hand in hand. I mean, if you're preaching the word, you want the word to have effect, don't you? How about Daniel? This is my wife's favorite Old Testament person. I'll give you three passages, Daniel 9, verse 23, Daniel 10, verse 11, and Daniel 10, verse 19, all describe Daniel as a man who was well favored by God. That's an amazing term, isn't it? And we know from the book of Daniel that Daniel prayed. Folks, his great intercession in Daniel chapter 9 was for the welfare of his people. That's amazing, isn't it? Where's Daniel?
Babylon.
He's in Babylon. Where's Ezekiel? He's in Babylon. Maybe they knew each other. Maybe they knew of each other. Don't know, right? But they're both there. They're both living. Daniel would have been a young person at that time. But he was locked up, as it were, in the palace right there in Babylon. The Jewish exiles supposedly were in like an encampment a little bit away from the city of Babylon. But here's three people: Noah, Daniel, Job. It would be a worthy study for you to look at these men. It will bring you under deep conviction. But now we got Jeremiah. Jeremiah's in Jerusalem, and Jeremiah is interceding. And God says, look, Jeremiah, if you were Moses and you were standing before me, and Moses did stand literally before the Shekinah glory, did he not? Even though he was standing before me, my heart would not turn to be with this people. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 32. And I'm just going to read one little section here, and then we'll move on to Samuel. Exodus 32. You'll recall we had the golden calf incident. If there was anything that was a slap to the person of God, it was the golden calf incident. And Moses goes up to appear before the Lord. And in Exodus 32, verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make you of you a great nation. And we recalled last week, this is very similar, is it not, to telling Moses, don't pray for the welfare of this people. Look at verse 11. Then Moses entreated the Lord. He didn't leave him alone, did he? Oh Lord, why does your anger burn against your people whom you have brought out from the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? I mean, Moses is doing some interceding, isn't he? He's actually, I'm using this word in a good sense. He's arguing. And he's arguing on the basis of who God is. Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, with evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger. Change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land which I have spoken, I will give to your descendants, and they will inherit it forever. Do you hear what he's doing? Why does your anger burn? And then he says, turn from your burning anger, change your mind, remember your promises. And look at verse 14. So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people. Did Moses stand before the Lord? Did he intercede? Was Israel stubborn and obstinate? Did they sin? Were they guilty? They were. And Moses goes up intercedes, and God says, I won't do this. I won't destroy them, and I won't take you, Moses, and make of you a great nation. He'll go on later and say, I will visit them for this sin. Okay? So, what a great intercessor that was. And God tells Jeremiah, Jeremiah, if you were a Moses, now was Moses a righteous man?
Yeah.
If you were a Moses, I wouldn't change my mind about this people. That's amazing. Then there's this other man, Samuel. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Samuel was a righteous man, and he was a mighty prophet. And what we pick up about Samuel is not only his faithfulness, but we will pick up that he prayed for the welfare of Israel. So 1 Samuel chapter 7. Here we have the sons of the Philistines are coming. Verse 8, the sons of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. Samuel took a lamb, offered as a burnt offering. Verse 9, Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Everybody see that? Now, what's my point? They went to Samuel and said what? Pray for us. And Samuel did. Now, were they any less obstinate? Were they any less stubborn people? Here's Samuel interceding for that nation. If you go over to chapter 8, here we have the people refusing to listen to the voice of Samuel because they wanted a king. And in chapter 8, verse 21, after Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he went back to his house and he repeated them in the Lord's hearing. Now, folks, did the Lord hear it the first time? Yes or no? Yes. But he took those words back and he got on his knees and interceded and said, Lord, here's exactly what these people said. And he interceded for them. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Excuse me, it's 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. verse 19. Then all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. Samuel goes on and tells them, yes, you did, but turn. Now look at verse 23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. But I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. But as for me, far be it from me that I would sin against the Lord by what? Ceasing to pray for you. Even if Samuel, Jeremiah, even if Samuel was here standing before me, I would not turn my heart back to this people. That's an amazing thing. What's he telling Jeremiah? Stop praying for these people. Did Jeremiah stop praying? Nope. And the question is, why? Let's go to our Lord.